crouton?
It's word salad with Amelia Discreet, only on 95BFM.
Kia ora.
Hello.
How are you, Amelia?
I think I've bitten off slightly more than I could chew this morning, to be honest.
I'm excited because you always say that and then we end up in some weird and wonderful word territory. So I trust in the process.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, should we get into it? Yeah, so today I wanted to talk about the language of flowers.
Ooh.
Sounds poetic.
Yeah. I mean, so basically, like, flowers have been used for symbolism since ancient Roman times.
Many years ago.
Even before that, there's, you know, biblical flower stuff. And then it really, it kind of ebbs and flows. There's a lot of, like, flowers in Shakespeare. But then...
Does love a flower.
In Victorian times, it, like, explodes. Partly because...
Explosion of flowers.
Massive blossoming. If
See
you will.
It.
So there's this kind of... I'm just going to say it again. There's a blossoming... interest in flowers and flower symbolism, and this is just history at the moment.
I love it.
It's partly because there's this deep interest in kind of science, and in Victorian Britain, there's this kind of association of science with, like, uncovering the beauty of God's creation. So that fits really in. So you get that really fits in with this. So you get this kind of association between, like, taxonomizing all of these different flowers, putting them into different categories, getting names for all of them, with, like, this kind of beauty thing. And you start getting all of these different books being like, here is what a flower says.
So this is where I'm slightly confused, because I've heard about the language of flowers, never really paid much attention to it. We're not actually talking about flowers talking. Are we talking about what a flower says?
Yeah,
it's basically
the kind of, like, the symbology of flowers.
Okay.
And so, essentially it changes over time. So...
You got any examples for us?
Of it changing over time?
Yeah.
I mean... No, I don't, sorry. This is partly the issue, is that it's not just changing over time. Basically, it's extremely arbitrary.
Okay,
so,
okay.
So something that might mean something to the Victorians might not mean the same thing to you, just because flowers are so arbitrary.
Isn't really, like, a true essence of a flower that people are tapping into here. It's just like, oh, well, we've decided that, you know, a rose means this thing.
Yeah, so I mean, if I said white lily, what would you say that meant?
Is that a death thing?
Yeah, so this is what I thought as well, but that it can also be a symbol of virginity, purity, and majesty.
Okay, not ones I would have associated with it.
Yeah, totally. So there's, like, a kind of a constant changing depending on, like, people's social situations and things.
Okay.
And also kind of depending on what the flowers are called. So
that, I was going to say, forget-me-not probably does what it says on the tin.
So we've gone a lot off track of what I wanted to talk about.
No, I've been enjoying it, though, because I think that is what's really interesting about anything that has, like, cultural symbolism, is it does tell you more probably about what it's come out of than about the actual thing itself.
Yeah. I mean, so there are a few that where the meaning of them is associated with some kind of property of the flower.
Okay.
So you have poppies, which have a symbolism of sleep because of opium.
Okay, right. Well, that makes sense.
Chestnut flowers and mimosa flowers both have connotations of chastity. Mimosa flowers, because they're the ones where if you touch them, they all close up.
Oh, I love those.
And chestnut flowers, because they're surrounded by thorns but not harmed by them.
Ooh.
Mm. So you have this kind of, like, interesting, weird thing. And then the Victorian era, it really blows up. And so people would give each other these things called tussie mussies.
What is a tussie mussie?
It's essentially just like a small bouquet.
Oh, okay.
But you choose the flowers in it to have specific meanings.
I was going to say Tussie Mussie sounds like a Dickens character or something, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Old Miss Tussie Mussie.
So especially carnations, different coloured carnations would have different meanings. So the actual name of a carnation comes from the same root as, like, carnivore. Like, the carn is because they're flesh coloured. Like, traditionally, carnations are pink.
Right. And of course, this is, you know, Victorian England as well. So they're sort of like, yeah, that's the only flesh colour.
No, that was it was a lot. It was from the French. They didn't really know what it meant. But so you in the Victorian era, they've bred all these different coloured carnations. And so pink is I'll never forget you.
Ooh.
Red is my heart aches for you.
Oh, yeah.
A striped carnation is no.
No, just no.
No, sorry, I can't be with you. Oh. A white carnation is innocence, pure love.
I've got to say, if someone was telling me no with a bouquet of flowers, I'd be,
so confused. Yeah,
I'd be
like, can you just explain? Can you explain? I'm trying to read between the lines here, and it's very stressful.
But so also, like where you wore your tussie mussy.
Oh,
would say something. So if someone gave you a tussie mussie and you just like stuck it on your shirt, they'd be like, oh, I should have given them a striped carnation. But if you put it over your heart, then you're like, yes.
Yes.
I've done it.
It's what if they gave you a no striped carnation and then you put it over your heart? Is that like a double?
I feel like that would be like the romantic ending of a movie where it's like, I'm sorry, we can't be together. And you're like, but I will always love you. Oh. But you've done it by just exchanging this small bouquet of flowers.
Seems like there's a lot of a room for error and misunderstanding here. I'm not going to lie. Just, you know, use your words, people.
I mean, but it's really beautiful. I mean, obviously there's some, like, sketchy... I mean, there's some, like, interesting, vaguely bad stuff going... no, it is bad. A lot of the reason that also this was becoming really popular in the Victorian era was colonialism. There was massive importing of new flowers. A lot of flowers get new names, get cod Latin names.
What's a cod Latin name?
It's like they've made up a new Latin name for it.
Okay.
So it can be like, you know, the Linnaean categorization where a thing has like two Latin names with the genus and the...
I'm nodding.
And the species.
But really, I'm shaking my head.
like geranium.
Okay.
It's like a Latin name for a flower.
And that...
So those used to be called in English crane's bills.
Oh. And then they're like, this is not...
But everyone was like, we got to science all the flowers. You can't just keep calling things sword lilies.
Well, if that looks like a sword, that seems to make sense.
I mean, that's true. There were several things called sword lilies.
Okay.
And it's... Yeah, so there's this big interest in like... defining the different kinds of flowers. And also, like, agricultural advances mean you can have, like, 13 different colours of carnation.
I actually have to say that if I've ever given anyone flowers, I've never thought about what flowers might mean that I'm giving.
There's a couple that are pretty common. You know, roses, you give, they still are for love, usually.
Yeah, I was going to say, what colour?
Mostly red roses are, like, passionate love.
Mm.
That's, like...
Is it like a
solid.
Yellow rose, like a friendship thing?
Oh, I thought it was a sickness thing.
Oh, maybe. See, this is why we should just talk about these things. I give Tess a bouquet of yellow roses and I'm like, you know, you're my friend. And Tess is like, I'm not actually ill. I'm so offended by that.
Yeah, and like usually you don't give someone white lilies now because it's like a death thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I also, when I was looking into this, I got... it very into like some of the etymology of flower names. So like you have this like classic interesting thing in English where a bunch of our words are posho French words. So like, you know, the classic people talk about beef. Like beef and veal. Like a lot of our meat words are from French.
Right.
Flower is from French.
Okay.
The English one is blossom.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it sounds a little. It sounds a little bit more
tussy mussy.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking Powerpuff Girls, but yeah.
Also true.
So some of the ones I thought were particularly interesting. Rosemary is one of those words that's been like kind of adjusted to make sense in English.
Right.
So originally it's from Latin, and it means the dew of the sea.
Ah.
Yeah, so it's Rosmera.
Rosmera.
Yeah. So that's changed over time because originally, like, it's in the Mediterranean, it's by the seaside, it's a little dewy little thing.
Lovely.
Yeah, and then so it's become Rosemary, which...
More English hedgerow.
Makes less sense the more you think about it. Yeah, there's also daffodils.
Yeah, what's the daffodil origin?
Well, so it comes from asphodel, which is an ancient Greek word. People are unsure when the D got introduced, but it basically means a kind of lily.
Okay.
People were extremely vague about flowers in the past, but that apparently.
What's that in the original Greek?
So asphodel is that's the flowers that grow in the Elysian meadows.
Okay.
Like, so it's like a death thing.
Oh gosh.
Someone texted in saying the white rose is purity.
Yeah, okay. That sounds about right. White, pretty much anything is like purity, virginity.
Yeah, there's a lot of kind of base ones that people go for with flowers. I find this really interesting. Didn't the Victorians also talk with fans as well? Is that a thing that they did? Why don't they just use their words, honestly?
I mean, because they were severely repressed.
Yes.
If you were a woman, you weren't allowed to talk to men, really.
That's true. In
polite company. You definitely couldn't say, I'm rejecting your advances, but I am hot for you. Like, you can't just go up to some dude in the street and say that. So you do it in flowers, and then you watch him get crushed as he slowly analyzes the bouquet.
Exits the ballroom, stage left. Hey, Amelia, thank you very much for bringing us the language of flowers this morning. I have enjoyed this thoroughly.
My pleasure.
I'm going to do some deep Googling after this. I now am wondering what the flowers on my kitchen table might
be. Oh, wait. Can I do just one more thing?
Go on.
Birth flowers. You know, like birthstones are a thing. What's your birth month, Rachel?
January.
Your birth flower is the carnation. Fleshy. Love, fascination, and distinction.
Sounds about right.
What are you? December.
You are a poinsettia. Good cheer and success.
I don't think I know what that looks like.
Google it.
You are the special one. That's what, if you put it in a tussie bussy, you're my special one.
Me or Rachel?
Tess.
Whoever you give the bouquet to.
I'm with you.
Amelia, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Vinaigrette originally referred to small vinegar.
Word salad with Amelia Discreet on 95 BFM. Just